Was everybody okay and able to open and take part in? Excellent. So it's really good to be back here with you and to be part of the series that you've been working through recently in the book of Acts. And like I said previously, I was allotted the 6th of June and given the title Peter's First Sermon and His Best. And there are only a couple of times that Peter's sermons, his preaching, are recorded in Scripture, and this one certainly does stand out as the most powerful and the most effective one that he preaches. And this is a significant moment in the history of the early church. It's where this dynamic shift happens from the followers of Jesus knowing about and having been taught about the Holy Spirit to now receiving it for themselves. And the Holy Spirit had been promised by Jesus. Like I said earlier, it was a gift that he'd said he was going to send them. And in John 14, we read verses where Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you, the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and will be in you later." And that's John 14, verses 16 and 17. And for me, that final part, verse 17 there of John 14, sums up what was happening at Pentecost. Because Jesus told his followers previously that the Holy Spirit lives with you now. The Holy Spirit was there. But what was coming was that the Holy Spirit would then live in you. And that was the big difference. That was what changed at this time of Pentecost that we pick up our story from today. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to his followers. He said that he will come upon you in Acts 1 verse 8. And one translation of Scripture says that when he comes upon you, you will be seized with power. And then you will be my messengers in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth. And this is where we land today in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on the followers of Jesus. And they're jibber-jabbering in all kinds of languages that people don't understand. And people think that they've been on the wine a bit too early and that maybe they're drunk. They don't understand what is going on. But it's in this context that this one man, Peter, who, like I said, had previously made a few blunders and mistakes along the way, he is seized with power, as the Scripture said. And he gets straight to work in doing the thing that Jesus had said that they would do when the Holy Spirit came, that they would be his messengers in Jerusalem. And that's where we find ourselves. That's where the followers were gathering. That's where the crowds were for the festival of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit begins to fill the believers. They are seized with power, and Peter stands up to deliver his first and best sermon. Talk about hitting the ground running. Literally, he's filled with the power of the Spirit, and bang, straight away, he starts to preach to the crowd. He puts this new power to use. So we're going to look at some of these verses in Acts 2 that we read earlier, and I tend to read from the New Living Translation, so some of the quotes that I'm going to be quoting will be from that. That's how I've prepared, but whatever version you have, it's the same word. They're just maybe slightly different words that I use. But we're going to be looking at that. But whenever I share something from God's Word, I'm always keen to try and see how it applies to our life here and now today. And so as we're going to go through, we're going to be looking at sort of tips that we can learn from Peter in terms of being a witness, in terms of sharing the good news of Jesus. Because like Jesus said to the followers, and we are his followers, it starts in Jerusalem, it goes throughout Judea, and then goes to the remotest places on earth. And that includes Fareham, and that includes here, and it includes this whole area and this city and this region, wherever you live. And so we need to be ready to do the kind of things that Peter did. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all going to get to stand up on a platform or on a rock or on temple steps, wherever this event took place. We may never get to preach to crowds of people that are 3,000 plus, but we can take tips about what it means to share the good news of the gospel with people where we are. And we do that through conversations with family, with friends, with colleagues that we work with, people at our schools or our colleges, our neighbors. And so what can we learn from Peter's first and best sermon? Well, firstly, I want to pick up this point. So this was just the point I made earlier, that the Holy Spirit was already with them, but then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was in them. And because we now live this side of Pentecost, we know that we have the Holy Spirit in us here and now today. The same Holy Spirit that enabled and empowered Peter to do what he did. So the tips that I'm going to pick up from Peter's sermon, that he had the other disciples with him. Now, obviously, Peter gets the credit. He's the headline speaker of this Pentecost festival event, this preach. But it says in verse 14 that the other disciples were there with him, the 11 other apostles, as he shouted to the crowd. And this, for me, just speaks about the fact that we need others to support us. Like I said, we may never get to stand on a platform and have a team of people around us supporting us in that way, but we can be praying for one another and supporting one another in that sense, praying for opportunities for each other to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people that we come into contact with. When I stand up to perform, again, if you don't remember my background or know what I do as a day job, I run a performing arts charity that creatively communicates the Christian faith. And in recent times, the past couple of years, the majority of that work has been one-man shows. So it is just me going out to do a performance with a whole bunch of props and bits and pieces. But I am never alone when I do that, because I have other people standing with me in prayer. And I know that even though I might be the face there doing the thing, there are the others with me supporting me. And it's important for all of us that we have others who are united in that purpose and that mind. A bit later on in Acts 4:32, we are told in the sense of the formation of the church that all the believers were united in heart and mind. They were together in what they were seeking to achieve. We need to have people that will be praying for us and supporting us and standing with us as we seek to share the good news of Jesus with other people. So that's our first tip. That's a brief one. The second one is that Peter knew his audience. He knew his audience. What do I mean by this? Well, it's a thing in performance or when you're talking to a group that you try and understand where they're coming from so that you can better relate to them and communicate with them. And Peter certainly knew his audience. We read about it in verses 14 to 16, especially where he says, "My fellow Jews," where he says, "residents of Jerusalem." And then a bit later, he says, "people of Israel," or as the NIV said just then, "fellow Israelites." You see, what he is doing with all of these statements is he is relating to his audience. He is letting them know that he is one of them, that he understands them. He understands their history and their culture, and he knows the same things that they know. He is speaking to them as someone who understands them and what they think already. He refers to the prophecy of Joel. That's the big part of the day of Pentecost, the prophecy about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't have to sort of explain who Joel is or what the prophecy is or where it came from or when it happened in history, because the people will already know that he's speaking to. That's why, like today, you could reference a famous footballer or a famous pop star, and everybody would just go, oh yeah, I know that person, because there's that shared understanding. Peter knew his audience would know about the prophet Joel. And then he brings out the big guns. He references King David, the greatest of Israel's kings, and he uses the words of King David to prove that Jesus was the fulfillment of prophecy, the promised Messiah that they had all been waiting for, because as a Jewish person himself, he was one of them. And he explains in verses 25 onwards about what David said and how David spoke about the coming Messiah, that death would not be able to hold him, that he would overcome death, his body would not rot in the grave. And then he says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses to this. You see, when you and I are talking to people today in our daily lives, it's important that we try and know our audience, that we try to understand who we're talking to and maybe the situations that they are currently facing. Now, it may not be that you have a similar shared life experience with these people, some of the people that we may come into contact with. And that's fine, because that's where we get to rely on the gift. That's where we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us relate to the people that we're talking to. And we can do this by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and in particular, thinking about words of wisdom and words of knowledge. We read about these as gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And we were thinking about this back at our own church, Riverside Family Church down in Northam, just last week, about the gifts of a word of knowledge for somebody. So where you can be talking to your audience, whether that's a group or just one person, and God can give you something about that person so that you can relate to them in a better way and suddenly have that connection with them that maybe wasn't there before. This can happen for you and me today. And I'm excited. I've been praying just this past week or two. I really want to experience a word of knowledge for somebody. I want to not for my own glory or benefit, but just so that I can see the effect that that has on an audience, on somebody else, to be able to talk to them about something in their life that I had no prior knowledge of because God's Holy Spirit has revealed it. This can happen for you and for me today, 2,000 years or so after Pentecost, because of the words that the prophet Joel spoke about some 800 years or so before that day happened. Because in that prophecy, it said in verses 17 to 18 of Acts 2, that in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. So Peter knew his audience. And then the next thing I want to look at is that this gift of the Holy Spirit is for all people. I don't know if you've ever, this isn't in my notes, I'm just sort of going to share it, but sometimes you can maybe meet somebody and you're talking to them, and in my early days as a Christian, you're like, ah, oh, you're a mess. You don't deserve to hear this. You don't deserve to know about God. And I admit, in some of my early days as a Christian, that was kind of the thing that I would think, that actually, this is something I've got, and I'm going to keep this for myself. And yet, what Peter displayed here is that the message of the gospel, the good news, was for all the people that were gathered there. All the people that had come in for the festival, all these people that spoke these different languages and were now hearing their own languages because of what the Holy Spirit was doing. It was for all people. And today, as we read this, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is for all people. This very fact would be later confirmed again by Peter when he had a dream. A dream that led him to visit somebody called Cornelius. And the abridged version of that story is that the Holy Spirit wasn't just for now the Jewish believers. Actually, it was going to be for the Gentile believers as well, the new converts. And in Acts 10:44, it says that even as Peter was saying these things, talking to Cornelius, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. Prophecy and visions and dreams that the prophet Joel spoke about, they're just the start. They're just the beginning of what people, all people, can experience when they are filled with the Holy Spirit and allow God to pour the Holy Spirit into their life. I referenced 1 Corinthians 12. Paul writes to the church at Corinth about the Holy Spirit and about the gifts that are then poured out into the lives of believers. And he says, his very first sentence in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other." It doesn't say that a spiritual gift will be given to some of you and we're going to pick names out of a hat. Doesn't say that a spiritual gift will be given to a few of you who God chooses because you're going to need it. It says that a spiritual gift is given to each of us who choose to believe in God and have that relationship with Him. And it goes on to talk about the fact that one person will have the ability to give wise advice. The other will have the same spirit will give a special message of knowledge. The same spirit gives great faith to someone. The same spirit will give a gift of healing. That one person can perform miracles. Another will have the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or another spirit. And he gives people the ability to speak in unknown languages. And others get the ability to interpret those languages. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Because of this moment in Acts, because of Pentecost, because of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, all of us here today, tuning in at home, watching during this week, all of us can do the things that Peter did. All of us have that same power available to us to stand and to do the thing that God has asked us to do. And when we get the Holy Spirit and we fully embrace the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can go from being somebody that kind of doesn't quite maybe get things right and muddles around a bit, like Peter in his past, to being someone that can boldly stand up, courageously speak to a large crowd of people, or whatever it is that God may ask you to do. We can do that, all of us, because of the Holy Spirit. The final point from this is that we need to make the message clear. Make it clear. Verse 36 of Acts 2 says, and this is Peter concluding his message, he says, "Let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." You know, he'd spoken a lot before that, and it goes on to say that he spoke a lot more after that as well. But really, he could have just stood up and said this: "Hey, everybody, you need to know that God made Jesus to be the Lord and Messiah." That was the clear message. After having explained all the history and the links to David and the prophecy, Peter makes sure that people know the clear message of what he's trying to communicate. And in verse 38, he goes on to explain to them what they now have to do in response to what they've heard. And it says each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, in this age of social action, there's a lot of social action that takes place in the church. And by that I mean helping those who are less fortunate, feeding those that are hungry, helping people with debt, with clothing, all of these kind of things. And that is right, and that is good, and that is what Jesus commanded us to do. But the danger with all of the social action is that it stops there. We can meet somebody's physical need, but then never speak to them about their spiritual need. And there comes a point, I believe firmly, where the good news of Jesus has to be made clear to people using actual words. We actually tell them about the gospel. And in this day and age, that becomes even more challenging with political correctness and what you can and can't say. And through social media, again, how we can share different things, but how you can be censored for the different types of things you might want to share. I used to fall into the trap again earlier as a Christian of thinking, well, I went to Sunday school when I was younger. I became a Christian through the Boys Brigade and involvement in that. And, you know, I went to Sunday school. I learned about Jesus. So surely everybody knows about God and Jesus. But the truth is, even more so right here and now today, people don't know about Jesus because they haven't gone through a Sunday school. They haven't been taught about it in their school assemblies or collective worship, as it's called now. It's up to people like you and me to be witnesses, to be messengers in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And the only way we can do that is by being filled with the Holy Spirit to enable us and empower us to accomplish this. It was Peter who wrote in his letter, in his first letter, chapter 3, verse 15. He said that if somebody asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Like I said, we may never get opportunities to stand up in big auditoriums and preach from a platform, but we all need to be ready to explain why we've chosen to follow this person called Jesus. And we can learn some good stuff from Peter's best sermon of how he goes through the process and he explains things and then tells people what they now need to do in response. You know, at the start of this year, God highlighted a verse of scripture to me, and I wrote it down. I've got it pinned up on my desk at work. And it was 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. And this is Paul writing. He says, "My message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit." I don't know if you've heard that acrostic, KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, Simon. Yeah? For me, it's that kind of thing. In this day and age, there will be men and women and boys and girls that want the detail. They need everything explained from creation right through to this moment in time. And I pray that if you meet those people, God gives you the wisdom and the words to share with them what they need to hear. But for me, the message of Jesus needs to be made clear and simple. It doesn't need highfalutin words. It doesn't need lots of theological explanation in the first instance. People just need to hear your story. They need to hear about your experience of Jesus and how it has made an impact on your life. Be ready to explain your hope as a believer. And it says that he relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we finish today, let me ask you here, let me ask you tuning in, do you rely on the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes to talking to people about Jesus? Or, like I've done many a time in the past? Do we get all a bit kerfuddled and confused and nervous, and the palms sweat and the knees knock and the heart beats, and we get all nervous because we're thinking we've got to do it, and we don't know what to say, and we don't know all the right stuff? Paul says we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened on this day of Pentecost. When Peter stood up, he had other people around him to support him. That's what enabled him to then preach that message. He knew who the people he was talking to. And we need to do that as well, either with our own understanding and knowledge of the people we're relating to and meeting, or by asking the Holy Spirit to give us those words of knowledge and wisdom so that we can better interact with them. You need to know that the Holy Spirit is for you today. It's great to read about Acts and what happened at Pentecost and what Peter did, but that same Holy Spirit is living inside each and every one of us today. And that means that you too can go and do the things that God asks you to do. And as you do that, I guess my challenge, my plea to you is to make the message of Jesus clear. Make it clear and rely on the Holy Spirit as you do. Because as the prophet Zechariah said, it's not by force, it's not by strength or by might, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's how we achieve the things God wants us to achieve. That's how we see the results that Peter saw on that first day when he stood and preached. It'd be amazing if we could think that we will see 3,000 people come into the kingdom of God at some point in our lives. It'd be nice to see 300. Be nice if we saw 3 as a start. But we can do this through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And as we follow the example of Peter that we see in this message, as we do these things, we too can get to that point where, as we read in Acts 2:21, at the end of that prophecy from Joel, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you gave your people the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that today we will receive it afresh in our lives. Lord God, that you will refill us, Lord God, pour out your Spirit on us so that we can be your messengers, we can be your witnesses in our Jerusalems, Lord, in our Judeas, even to the places that you lead us to. And that, Father, as we go, we will rely on the power of your Spirit to enable us to do the things that you ask us to do. Help us to relate to the people that we meet, to understand them, and to be able to speak clearly the good news into their lives. Help us to have people to support us as we do that, but also to be a support to others and to stand with others in what they do, Father. And we thank you that this promise is for each and every one of us, for every boy and girl, for every man and woman, whether we are young or whether we are old, we are all included in this promise. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that it would land into our hearts and our minds today, Lord, and the seed would land on good soil, and you'd help this to grow in us in the coming days and weeks. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to listen to our last song together, which is In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found. He is my light, my strength, my song. And if you ever feel stuck for words when you have an opportunity to share your hope in Jesus, then that's not a bad thing to quote. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, and my song. Let's listen to this together.